You're listening to Potential Cast, Season 6, Episodes 1 and 2, Bargaining. Part 1, written by Marty Noxon. Part 2, written by David Fury, both directed by David Grossman. As Giles prepares for his return to England, the gang secretly prepares to resurrect Buffy with a magic spell. But a group of demons interrupts Willow before the... She can finish the spell. My name is Stephanie.
I'm Kimberly.
This is Gabby.
I'm Budinsky. And today we have with us...
Simone, yay!
Yay, Simone! It has been years!
It's been forever.
years and years. What's happening?
Years and years.
What's happening? How you been?
Pretty good, yeah. I mean, I visited your fair country recently. It was nice.
Yes.
It was nice.
Will you be returning anytime soon?
If things go well in a day, I should possibly have a ticket for a couple of months from now.
Nice.
Oh, nice. Wow.
Yeah.
Wonderful.
Fantastic. Yes, America is a lovely country. I like visiting it quite a lot. So, yeah. Simone, when's the last time you were on the show?
It's season 3, and it was like a random guest spot where I hadn't slept all day, and we decided we were just going to do it anyway for funsies.
Awesome.
Sounds like every week.
That sounds like the way we ran season 3.
Simone, what possessed you to pick this episode?
Because I love it.
Okay.
And it's the start of my personal favorite season. This is the season I absolutely love. And I'm the only person sitting in the corner loving this season, but I don't care because I'm having fun.
You know, I have the feeling that at the time that it aired, there was a big backlash.
Why is that? Because of it changing networks?
Maybe so. I think it was the time. I think that it was after September 11th and the country was, they needed a pick-me-up, and this was not a pick-me-up.
Okay.
Yeah. No, really? No, it wasn't. I think it's hilarious. Kidding.
Well, I just have to say that these bikers are pretty intriguing folks. I must say.
Really? Are you serious? I hope you're being sarcastic.
Perhaps. Yeah. Perhaps I'm being sarcastic? Perhaps. We'll see.
If it helps, I think they're the stupidest demons the show has done in a good couple of seasons.
Really?
So. Yay!
Even worse than the Chaos Demon?
But that was fun because it had antlers.
This is true. Speaking of True Detective, never mind. I'm only on episode 1. All is well.
Don't spoil. I want to watch that.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm watching a lot more tomorrow. I have a very long run. So we'll probably get 2 episodes in. So, can we first start by saying, hey, everyone, it's season 6. We're here.
Yay, finally.
Yeah.
We can see the end.
We made it past the dawn season. We're now embarking on a season without dawn. I'm very happy. It was that the horrible Potential Cast nightmare is over. And we can move on with our lives. Wasn't this episode awesome without Dawn?
Yeah, it was until she showed up.
Yeah. You got that feeling too, huh?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I was kind of shocked at the opening sequence because Buffy Bot was not even on my radar.
Really?
No, I completely forgot about Buffy Bot. And I was like, what? I'm like, are we like in the future? And now we're going to have to...
Oh, you thought we were going to get flashbacks?
I was like, we're going to do some flashbacks.
And some flash forwards. And...
Flash sideways.
Yeah.
Flush down the toilet.
We did a lovely flashback at the very, very end of the episode, though. So
yeah.
But it was unlike Lost.
Mm-hmm. It was about 30 seconds before I realized. I was like, Buffy Bot.
Buffy Bot.
Yes.
Yeah.
I love Buffy Bot. I think, you know what? I think Sarah Michelle Gellar is a better actress as Buffy Bot than she is in Frank.
I don't disagree with you, Simone. I don't disagree with you at all.
I think it's like that with any show. When you have one of the main characters that gets to not be the role that they play mm-hmm. week in and week out, mm-hmm. I think it's fun to see them step out. Like when
Agreed.
Angel plays Angelus, or even, you know, that, what's his other alias where he wears that Hawaiian shirt all the time?
Oh, he who shall not be named?
Sanders?
No.
Yeah,
no.
Sanders. Something Sanders, right?
Yeah. Anyways. I like it.
I feel that way about Alt Olivia on Fringe as well.
Mm.
Yes.
Yes.
It was way more interesting.
Olivia.
Totally.
Yeah.
Olivia.
There's another show I can't get into because there are so many episodes.
I can't get into it because they get Jacksonville wrong.
It's you so mean stupid, they don't pronounce it right, or it doesn't look like it?
It's the places they refer to don't exist. It looks wrong. It bothered me too much, so I had to stop watching it.
So right away,
well, let's talk about it now. Right I watched away. With the commentary.
See,
she admits. Yeah, Marty Moxon admits that nobody on the writing staff had teenagers, and they really didn't know. They didn't realize teenagers were more sophisticated than that.
Hmm.
So that's why Don was get out.
Really?
Because they didn't know exactly what a teenager was like. So that was nice to hear him admit that.
Mm-hmm. Sorry, I'm rewatching it, and I'm at the introduction of the bikers in that bar, and the little logos on the beer taps are ridiculous. Can I say right now that the very very opening scene blew me away in how Generalissimo Willow was giving everybody telepathic orders and where to be and where to go, and I was like, what show am I watching?
Yeah.
This is weird.
Yeah. I thought it was like, what? That's why I thought we jumped into the future. And I was like, what? Too much has happened.
Too much has happened.
I love it because they start that whole telepathic Willow in the gift. She gives Spike that thing. Mm-hmm. It's really nice to see that they didn't just like drop that out of the gift. Mm-hmm. Just still bossing everyone around with their mind.
Yeah. There's no transition for us to see how she got to do it with everybody. It was just like, well, not that I'm complaining, but I was just like, okay. I thought we'd have more explanation, but it's, anyway.
And then I like later on that they explained that there was a conversation. They had a vote. They all decided Willow was going to be in charge.
Yeah, that was pretty awesome. One of my favorite scenes.
I love Xander. So,
can I talk about the opening credits?
And yeah, they talked about
it. Pissed me off.
This was not.
Yep.
Huh?
It pissed me off.
Me
what
too.
I saw in the credits. Go ahead, Kim.
Oh, wait a minute. Talk about the credits. What now?
The opening credits. Kim wants to talk about them.
Okay. Why Giles isn't in them? And why he is a special
very
guest.
Very special guest star.
Like, what the heck's going on?
He flew away to London.
Yeah, but that doesn't mean he's off the show, does it?
I mean, unless we're looking forward to awesome England scenes, that would be fun.
Great. I'm just thinking, I hope that they did that to throw us off. I really do.
I hope that as well.
Last season, I told you that he has two young daughters at home. Mm-hmm.
They did?
Yeah.
Or you did?
I did. Yeah.
Like in real life or on the show?
Yeah. In real life, Anthony Stewart Head has two young daughters.
Okay.
And he came to realize that he wasn't needed. If he's a watcher and he has no... He failed. He let his slayer get killed. And so he has no reason to stick around in Sunnydale.
I suppose that's true. But, you know, come on!
He still has the Scoobies.
Yeah.
Well, you know what? They got Buffy back there at the end. I know I'm jumping forward, but who knows? He could, like... He could be back really soon. Or maybe they won't tell him.
He better hurry up and come back.
Yeah.
Because I was waiting for the opening credits.
Another thing they talked about was how Emma Caulfield...
Go ahead, Steph. I think we're on a delay, but that's all right.
I was just saying that on the commentary, they were talking about Emma Caulfield's hair, that she came back with hair that looked too similar to Sarah Michelle Gellar's, and they kept making jokes about how they would see her and think she was Buffy. Because her hair was so beautiful.
I love that part of the commentary. It derails into this weird, like, hairstyle and hair color discussion. And you're just like, really? You could be talking about other things than how you're...
That sounds like our podcast. No fashion.
I was just about to say that. Because I'm watching part two, and I'm definitely having thoughts about a certain belt.
Wait, I'm still on part one, damn it. No belt spoilage, please. Oh my god, is that Taster's Choice coffee in the background of the magic shop?
Oh, shut up. Seriously? Now I have to go with that.
Episode.
I thought it was a big commercial for Seattle's best coffee.
Part one, 30 minutes and 45 seconds, I think. Okay. Let me go back 10 seconds here. I'll do a screen capture. No.
Is that a little Easter egg?
30 minutes and screen cap now. Took the picture. Okay. We'll see that soon. So did someone leave the chat?
No. It looks like Steph did.
Steph! The mother of the intro cast dumps us. Not cool. Da, 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 da. Hey, everyone. Remember why we all hated Skype so much?
I'm sorry.
It's Retro Monday. It's okay.
Retrocast.
Yeah, so Willow being all in charge was kind of neat. I didn't believe for a second that Spike couldn't catch that giant vampire. Sorry. That doofus vampire, I mean, Buffy bot must be really terrible if that doofus can get the jump on her.
Hanson's number one fan?
Yes.
I love that Hanson tea wearing vampire. He's just like the weirdest, lamest little dude just running around.
Yep. Lamest, yeah.
Causing weird thoughts of chaos.
Like before they even had the reveal of the Hanson t-shirt, I went, he's wearing a Hanson shirt.
Like, absolutely. It was fantastic. It was perfect. Why is Anya I know I'm skipping ahead, but why is Anya giving Giles food to take with him on the plane? He's not going to be allowed that through customs.
It's recorded before
what?
After 9/11.
After. But
a year. Well,
I mean, it'll get past security, but he won't be able to take it into England. He's going to have to eat it on the plane.
Yeah.
What's Stephanie saying? Stephanie wants to be added to the call now.
Well,
if you want.
Steph, are you with us now?
Like Giles left the Scoobies.
Yeah, Stephanie left us just like Giles left the Scoobies.
Did she go to England?
Steph, did you go to England?
Who left her with the hospital? Who left us with the hospital?
Yep.
Like the magic shop.
That's pretty much it.
Wow.
Not cool.
Can we talk about Willow's transformation for a second?
No, because she became a lesbian 2 seasons ago, no?
She's a super badass.
Oh my god. Mm-hmm. Oh, when she was killing the baby deer?
Yeah, when
when she was like, oh, in my the God. Meadow and everything was like, what? Well, then all of a sudden I was like, what the hell is going
Total
on?
Total turn on.
I loved it. What's wrong with me that I loved it?
She's going to go to a bad place.
I think she's already there.
I can't wait.
I think she's already there.
I can't wait. I think that she wanted to resurrect Buffy just so she could kill her. My theory lives.
I can't believe that they agreed to do that.
Yeah, they said that. But saying it took...
They rationalized the shit out of it.
Yeah.
Of course, yeah.
But it's They're just... like, oh, yeah, because... well, because if somebody dies because of not natural causes, and be, you know, I'm like, oh, God, because of mystical reasons, then it's cool-ish if you bring him back to work.
I have this whole massive theory about why Willow felt she had to resurrect Buffy.
Hmm.
I'm not sure if it's spoilery to tell you now or
you should or probably you later, wait.
I don't think it is. It really involves stuff from previous seasons that led to this moment as opposed to things that come later.
Hey!
Hey.
I think I hear Steph now. At least I hear Steph's husband. Ed?
Well, I think that they had to justify it because
Hello.
They thought that the series was ending, correct?
I guess. I mean, you have to bring her back. So how do you bring her back, right?
Well, you need an amazing justification.
You go get a vase off eBay.
Well, okay, here's what they said. Yeah. Oh, Marty Noxon says that she wished that they had were able to do something other than just a spell. But she said they've already been to a hell dimension and it looked like a Pat Benatar video, so they weren't going to do that again. And they had to have something that to raise the stakes. It was something that they couldn't recreate. You know, it was like a one and only urn that they couldn't get another in case this went bad. So,
So I'm at 32 minutes. In 0 seconds in episode 1 of season 6, and Tara's holding up a little monster and saying, Ger-Arg. And now from my first Comic-Con, and when I got one of those as a gift, I finally get the reference. Thank you, Jana.
I have one, too. I have one too, and now I want to throw it away. Thanks, Michael David.
You're having a bit of an Allison Hannigan moment where apparently she was really pissed off that Amber got to say that line.
Really? So I just thought it was so cheeseball.
Oh, it is. I don't know why she was like, you know, wanting that line so bad.
I thought it was hilarious. That was my one and only quote for this week.
Oh. Kim, we've been doing this for almost 4 years now. It'll be our fourth anniversary in just a few months, and you only have one quote?
Yes.
What's it like being perfect, Kim?
One quote.
I hated that part.
What's it like?
It was the only quote worth writing down.
Oh, that's not true.
Worth writing down. I loved that quote. I laughed out loud.
You lulled.
I lulled. I fully lulled, y'all.
Yeah, so the Scooby saying bye to Giles at the airport was really sad.
I didn't like it one bit because I'm like, where the F is Giles going? Like, for realsies.
England. To the England.
I don't believe it.
Is he going to a special all-inclusive Watchers resort?
Yes.
Awesome.
Do you think they still get those privileges after their slayer has died in action?
Well, don't all slayers die? So, yeah.
Yeah, all slayers are supposed to die when they turn 18, right?
Or before they turn 18.
So he should get extra privileges because he's had the slayer that's lived the longest.
Yeah.
Correct?
Well, he's had the Slayer that's lived twice.
And lived twice, exactly.
But are they supposed to, or they just happen to die before they turn 18?
I don't remember anymore. They're supposed to.
Well, I don't think they have an expiration date, but they tend to just, as soon as they turn 18, they lose that je ne sais quoi that gives them the jump on the vampire, on the vampire. They get sloppy and die. I think it has something to do with when they lose their virginity.
Oh, because you're 18 when that happens?
But they don't say that, right? They kind of allude to it at the Watchers' Council. But once your slayer goes slutter, yeah. Once your slayer gets the stake, how more gross can I be about this? How about I stop there?
Yeah, let's.
Hey, I'd like to take a moment. I know we don't usually do advertising on the show, but I'd like to take a moment and thank one of our sponsors. It's a really awesome new company, and it's called Go Fuck Yourself Skype. it's a really great company because what they do is they tell Skype to go fuck itself. And they do so repeatedly. And I, for one, welcome them as our new sponsor. Welcome. You should all go tell Skype to go fuck itself. Let's see if Steph is ready to come back. I've been trying to get her back on for minutes.
Oh, Skype. What is this?
What is this? 2012?
God. Oh, this is 2012. Man.
I think it's okay. Like, I may be jumping ahead. I know I am, but
yeah, please.
It took literally about 5 minutes for all of Sunnydale to be taken over by these.
Well, did you see how many of these awful bikers there were?
Yeah, they go to the smallest street in all of Sunnydale.
Yeah.
Ride their bikes in circles.
Yep. Well, that's what you got to do.
And then the whole town is under siege.
Yep. Well, I think there were a lot more demons. They were implying that there were a lot more demons than what we saw.
Mm-hmm.
They were also implying that they were supposed to be intimidating.
Yeah.
And I think that the weird elastic black bands on their faces were supposed to be really gory and scary instead of just what they really were, which is just confusion. Or confusing.
They look like headbands. And I was like, oh, okay. I guess they're supposed to be like piercings.
Yeah. I just didn't understand why.
Why they went around their heads like rectangles?
They looked like they were. Kimberly, you know who LeBron James is?
Vaguely.
And he recently broke his face, correct?
His nose, yeah.
Yeah, which is on his face, correct?
Mm,
it's attached to his face. Okay. And he's been wearing a mask, correct?
Yes, Batman style mask.
It's like he's a hockey goalie in the 50s, right? Yeah. Don't they have those black elastic straps that come around the front just to hold that to the basketball player's face when they have those face molded masks? That's what it looked like to me. They all look like LeBron James to me.
But without the plate and the front, the bands.
Yeah, just the bands. It's like, hey, where's their mask?
I find really weird about the biker demons.
What?
They don't have noses.
This is true. They're a bunch of mouth breathers.
There are a bunch of mouth breathers. Kind of like Tara.
Oh, that's a low blow. No. That's a low
whatever,
blow.
You like, sorry, you guys. Like a quote, whatever.
No, one quote. That's not even really her.
The only
that's
one
out
worth
of place. Writing she's down. Awkward and hater.
Hey, that Willow Giles hug at the airport was a little extra long, don't you find?
Oh,
Gillo from way back.
Gillo is back.
Yep.
I don't know. I just, I don't enjoy. I still don't like
Anya,
Tara,
and Tara.
Just Tara more now. I think, unfortunately, she could be the one. I think I dislike her more than Dawn now. Wow.
What?
Whoa. I know.
So Kim and Gabby sitting in the tree. D-I-S-S-I-N-G, Tara. Hey, Steph, are you back?
Yeah.
Yay! Yay! So can I just say that Anya not being able to wait until Giles left the country was adorable? She can't wait to get her hands on the money.
It's her store now.
Yeah, and as soon as Giles left, there she is wearing the top half of a power suit.
And I love that when they go back to the magic shop, she's like, oh, thank God.
I know.
It's like, my store's okay.
My store's okay. Do you know what, though? When they were when the not at all scary demons were rampaging through Sunnydale, that's the one thought that kept running through my mind, too. Not the magic shop. Because you know why? Because I was having a Facts of Life flashback. Do you guys remember the Facts of Life?
Oh, yes. Yes. You know, my dad wouldn't let me watch it.
Why?
Because he thought that it was literally about the birds and the bees.
Is it because they had an integrated cast, Steph?
Possibly.
One, okay. One black character, Tootie. They call that integrated?
Hey, Tootie. Tootie counted like two because of the roller skates and the pigtails and the cuteness. Do you remember when Edna's Edibles caught fire?
And then it became over our heads.
Yeah, and it was this weird trinket store. I was afraid the magic shop was going to have to be transformed into like some stupid like phone store or something, a cell phone store or a pager store.
A coffee shop.
That time.
Oh, coffee shop would have been nice.
But there's already one coffee shop that we know of.
Crash into the espresso pump. Maybe they might have to like.
Hey, espressopump.com, if you notice the...
The .com age. We entered it. Hey, how about Willow smearing blood all over herself?
Oh, Willow.
Ew.
Willow is black magic.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. I may just have surreptitiously indicated what song I'm going to end with. Regardless.
Nice.
She gets totally badass, and then... the cutting and the bugs.
So good.
Ew.
And the snake.
The vomiting of the snake.
The regurgitating of the snake. I love Xander's bewildered, what the hell is happening look.
Yeah.
The bugs crawling under her skin were my favorite part. I loved it. I loved every second of this.
Mm-hmm.
Willow.
Oh, and she's keeping things from them. She's not telling them everything.
My secret.
She's getting a little too arrogant.
Yeah.
Mm-mm. Oh, and they talked about the bugs under the skin. Like they said, the mummy stole it from them, but really they meant that they stole it. They said, really, we come back and write scripts as homages to the movies that we saw the summer before.
Also, where'd these demons get all those baseball bats?
Where did the demons get anything of anything that they have?
I don't know. And then I think that it starts here, something that I don't like, how out in the open the demons are.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
They're riding their motorcycles during the day.
Yep.
In public, people are seeing them. They're not, you know, underground in a secret. They're blatantly out in the open. And I don't like that at all.
So is Buffy at the end of this season going to get a town protector umbrella? It's going to be like a golf umbrella. It'll just be bigger. Is that going to happen? Is that a spoiler?
It'd be like a patio umbrella, not a golf one. Oh, maybe you're right. A golf one, and then in the finale,
the patio one.
It's an impressive idea. I like that she might get something for saving the entire town.
So they didn't have enough makeup to go around, because a lot of these guys that are supposed to be demons are just like regular guys wearing motorcycle outfits.
Yeah.
It's really funny.
Well, they weren't getting close-ups.
Yeah. But upon rewatch, you kind of spot a couple of them.
There's one specific guy in, like, a Russian army helmet or something that is just a regular guy. And you're like, what the hell are you doing with these guys?
Yeah.
Why are you here? You should be on a different set in a different show.
Mm-hmm.
Just not here.
The drawing and quartering of BuffyBot was fantastic. It was amazing.
I thought that was very well executed.
Mm-hmm. You mean the way they all simultaneously went at the same time?
Well, that plus that was what happened with Dawn afterwards.
Yeah, I know.
I was like, and it wasn't like, okay, we're going to zoom in on her face so that we don't have to worry about not having to deal with her having arms and legs. But I was like, this is very well done.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Sarah Michelle Gellar was like under a fake road.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, like a rubber cement thingamajiggy.
Yeah.
Say, right?
It was very well done.
Yeah. I mean, whenever you have practical effects, they always seem a little better well done than CGI.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's like, speaking of which, the budget for this episode, these couple episodes, was definitely above and beyond what the show's usually gotten. Even just in terms of lighting.
I was going to say, you think so? Even with them switching to a smaller network?
Yeah, I mean, I think that they really kind of busted out the cash for this episode, for these two.
Oh, I see, yeah. Because they wanted to, you know, open up with a bang.
I mean, even just little light touches. I think that when Giles and Buffy were training in the back room, like, it actually felt like it was properly lit from outside. Like, it could have been the sun. Do you know, like, even just slight touches like that, I thought, made it look better.
Well, there's a couple.
But then
of
you
instances.
See Buffy Bot's rubber belly, and you're like,
"Yeah, the rubber belly was."
Steph.
Well, and there is the scene where the Scoobies meet up with the real Buffy, and she's supposed to run away from them, and she has to. There's no room, so she has to run past them.
Yeah,
yeah.
Or the scene where it's the Scoobies walking down the street. And they have to walk so slow because there is nowhere to go that it takes all the momentum out.
Is that why?
The urgency out.
Is that why when Dawn was running, I was like, why is she running so slow?
Yeah. There's like no real estate.
Yeah. Well, that makes sense.
Because the scene where the biker gang pulls the Buffy bot apart, or where Buffy meets up with the biker gang, where you see a lot of space, that's at a Warner Brothers ranch, and it's not on their lot.
Okay,
they just have no room.
Hey, everyone!
Yes.
How about waking up in your own coffin?
Oh God, no! That is my biggest fear.
That's my nightmare.
So, do you guys remember when NBC used to have these really, really scary stories on Friday nights or Saturday nights?
And it called cliffhangers.
I don't remember if it was that, but it was really scary. And the one I remember, I just want to recount it to you. Copyright, whoever. There's this woman in prison. And she can't take it. She needs to get out. She needs to break out. And she noticed that there's this old man, and he is basically, he's in charge of the prison of doing a whole bunch of handiwork. And he basically makes the coffins, right? And he's kind of the de facto undertaker. And he's an older gentleman. He has a daughter, and he doesn't see very well. He's quite old. And so an interesting relationship develops between this inmate, this woman, and this old man who does the coffins and other handiwork. And she reads this man's daughter's letters to him and, you know, develops into a friendship and stuff. And then one day she reads him a letter, and the daughter basically says that she doesn't want to contact him anymore. She doesn't agree with a whole bunch of things, and she's moving away, and, you know, it breaks his heart. It turns out that she lied. What she wanted was for him to confide in her, and she got him to agree that the next time that there would be someone that passes away, she would sneak into the coffin, and he would not tell anyone, and he would close up the coffin, and then he would come back and unbury her.
That's just weird.
Right? And so, not too long after they make this agreement, someone passes away. She sneaks in the middle of the night, pitch black darkness, into the coffin. and this is her chance. So she's basically waiting, and then she can hear them doing the funeral, more or less. It's muffled. She hears the dirt, and now she waits. And she waits.
Oh, God.
And nope. She waits. And she waits. And she's like, what's going on? She lights a match.
Oh, no.
And
that's
he's
my nightmare.
Dead in the coffin with her.
I vaguely remember that.
And I was maybe 10 years old when I saw this.
I would die.
And all I remember is I was so freaked out, but loved every second of that realization. And anytime I see anybody waking up in a coffin, my mind immediately goes to that. And I have to say that Buffy wakes up in the coffin.
And then she busts her way out.
And she busts her way out.
She clawed
her way out of that thing, man. Yes, she did.
No,
you saw she did.
I know she did, but I know it's completely irrational, but that is literally my greatest fear of being buried alive.
Well, did you hear about that guy who almost was buried alive a couple weeks ago?
No, where?
No,
a man, I believe it was either in Louisiana or Florida. He was pronounced dead, and he was at the funeral home and was moving around with a body bag. He was not dead. His pacemaker had conked out.
That has happened a number of times. I remember reading or hearing on the radio a story about that happened somewhere in like Nova Scotia or Newfoundland somewhere. And I would be like, that would just be so frightening if you saw that.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
You expect that to have happened 100 years ago, but not in this day and age.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, no, I clearly expect it to happen enough where it's actually my greatest fear. It's so weird. Yeah. Oh, that's awful.
Yeah, I remember the first time ever seeing that was on, like, Days of Our Lives or one of those soap operas where someone was buried alive and they had, like, a walkie-talkie and they were torturing the person
there was,
who was
buried alive. It was Stefano Demera was torturing Jack Black, John Black. Yeah.
Yeah, and they
it
had,
was awesome.
They had a tube where they had a tube where they could feed him water just enough to keep him alive. And I was like, this is so morbid.
Buried alive. You're buried alive. Yeah.
And I was like, soap opera?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
I think this was right before or right after Marlena was possessed by the devil. I can't remember.
Oh, goodness.
But it was definitely freaky because it wasn't just you're buried alive and you can't get out, but I'm keeping you alive. It's, but I'm also going to steal your wife.
Yes, and you're going to hear every moment of our lovemaking.
I miss soap operas.
Yeah, too much. Definitely. They took risks back then.
Yeah, I couldn't watch that. What was the movie with, oh gosh, why can't I think of his name? Ryan Reynolds, where he's buried in a coffin or something?
No, I cannot. I could not do that.
I can't watch that. I saw just the trailer, I was claustrophobic, and when it came out, I had to change the channel. Like, I can't look at this. It's too much.
Really? Ooh. What's the name of the movie?
Buried.
I'm sorry, what's the name of the movie?
Buried.
They can't come up with a better title than that.
No.
No, they really can.
No.
Can't. We bought a zoo. What is that?
What was that about?
I don't know.
Okay, guys, to be fair, if you were to watch this as two separate episodes, they do give you the impression between episode one and episode two that there a lot of time has passed.
No, they haven't.
For the demon takeover.
Not at all.
I mean, I know it really... It isn't, because from the Willow storyline and them trying to revive Buffy, no time has passed. But if you're watching this like a week later, you can kind of suspend your disbelief again.
Not really. Because they replayed a scene with Buffy Bot, and it was the same scene. And then they cut to the entire town is under fire.
Right. Yeah, you're right. Never mind.
It just happened really, really,
it just happened really fast.
Yeah.
It's like SARS.
Buffy bot.
So Spike doesn't want to hide out.
No.
Nope.
He wants to run and he wants to bring Dawn with him.
Aww.
So are we supposed to ship these two?
Well, no. As a matter of fact,
please don't they, say.
No, they realized that Don was getting so old and so mature that they couldn't have them sitting too close together. And like when Don crosses her legs, she looks very mature.
Really?
So yeah, they said they, you know, to keep from having like a creepy vibe, they
James from writing really disturbing songs about her though.
Hey now, don't spoil us. Are you spoiling us? Are you spoiling us on the show?
No, you mean the actor?
James. And his very, very disturbing song.
Really?
It's like messed up.
Seriously? Wait a second. You mean James Marsters, the actor, wrote songs about Michelle Trachtenberg, the actress?
Yes.
Oh.
Really?
Yes, about how she was underage and how he wished he could, but he would get in trouble.
Oh, that's creepy.
Dangerous.
Did he say?
Yeah, that's what he called it.
That's too much.
Ugh. Winger had a hit in 87 called She's Only 17. I mean,
true.
Come on, guys.
Dangerous. I don't think you know my name. I think you'd leave me standing in the rain. You're a pretty little girl. You got a thing for me, but you'd cut me open and let me bleed. Ugh.
But
I notice you with your long brown hair, pretty little feet sparkling everywhere. You look so good when you come my way, but I have to look down when you talk to me because you're dangerous. Dangerous. Dangerous.
Wow.
And you don't even know it.
Well, it can't be about Michelle Trachtenberg because she has giant feet.
She really does have hobbit feet.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my! I've never noticed her feet in all of these episodes that I've watched. That in never jumped out at me.
Yeah. Hey guys, ever I die and anyone asks you, don't let me get buried in high heels.
Just in case you come back
because
and then you have to walk down
the street. Ever one of you revive me, I don't want to have to deal with that. Okay, thank you. Why would you bury someone in high heels?
Because
it's not like she's going to look small in the coffin without them.
But she probably loved those shoes.
Oh, God, here we go.
And
it could be her only pair of black shoes. Come on.
But the open coffin concept, right? I mean, isn't it just the top half of the casket that's open?
So, when we discussed 6 feet under, I asked my friend who works in a funeral home, if you put shoes on them or not. And she said, if the family brings shoes, they put shoes on them. If the family does not bring shoes, basically they put on whatever the family decides.
I can't wait to get cremated and put into a planter.
Morgan is going to...
Pardon?
Morgan is going to have me made into a diamond and wear me on her finger.
Nice.
Wow.
That's pretty awesome.
That's a thing?
According to Morgan, it is.
Oh, gosh. Man.
Okay, I gotta look that up.
Too creepy for me.
Yeah. I'm gonna be put in a planter for a sapling. Because they can mix your ashes with soil. And then you get planted somewhere. And then you basically feed a tree. And you're part of nature.
Aww. Yeah,
it's gonna be pretty awesome.
That would be nice instead of being, what do you call it? Shoot, words left my brain.
Cremated.
Buried,
decomposed, scattered.
Chemicals pumped into your blood veins.
Yes.
And harm the earth.
Mm-hmm. Agreed. Oh yeah, because embalming fluid is so toxic.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's the word.
My original plan was I wanted to be flung from a trebuchet. Because I saw that on an episode of Northern Exposure. But apparently, trebuchets are really big and expensive.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't just rent one. You'd have to build one.
Mm-hmm.
And then I thought, I could start building it now. And then, no, that's just a weird vibe.
So, building your funeral trebuchet.
Exactly.
spend the second half the second half of your life building your funeral trebuchet.
Building my funeral trebuchet may be a really great indie band name, but it's not a way to spend your weekends. Am I right? I'm rude. All right. So let's talk about Sarah Michelle Gellar reprising her method acting skills and going back into the role from Beer Bad. Can we talk about that? Because when she's back in part two, there is quite a lot of caveman Buffy.
Neanderthal
Buffy expressions going on, which I thought were, hey, it's Buffy from Beer Bad. And then I didn't feel so bad for her until they met up with her, and then she was slightly catatonic and her hands were all messed up, and then it dawned on us what she had to go through. Yeah. So did anybody else get a Beer Bad feel?
I got a creepy feeling because it felt like I thought, okay, maybe the spell was only half done. So like she's not going to be all there until Willow can finish the rest of the spell. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So maybe it's just mostly her body, but she's not really all there yet.
Part of her still not back yet. That's what I thought. And I was like, oh, this is just too creepy.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think it's more like, what did they say? That, like, she's in shock.
Yeah. Well, I think afterwards when they're, exposition scene where everyone's telling us what Buffy is feeling.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Like, oh, no. I thought she was a zombie. Yeah.
And then I had, do you remember that movie Death Becomes Her?
Yeah.
So I was thinking, like, whenever Buffy bleeds, she won't be able to heal properly. So I'm like, oh no, she's bleeding. She's going to be bleeding forever in that spot. I don't know why I thought that. Creepy.
Willow and Xander get separated from Anya and Tara.
Ugh, yes.
And okay. Then we have the weirdest sparkling light Will-o'-the-Wisp.
It's Tinkerbell.
Tinkerbell moment.
I love it.
Okay.
I like that a little bit.
David Fury says that it's like a callback to when Willow did the same spell in Fear Itself.
Mm-hmm.
To get out of the house, but it's like stronger now.
Hmm.
And there's a nice little part where Willow gets really happy when she realizes that Tara sent that for her.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was really distracted by Nicholas Brendan's flailing about.
His flailing, like, all I can think of is like Kermit the Frog.
Yeah.
With the wiggly arms.
He's really great throughout both these episodes. There's something like a spark in his performance in both these episodes that I really enjoy.
He seems excited to be back at work.
Xander Nicholas Brennan.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I get a part. I get some lines. I get some scenes.
Mm-hmm.
Now he's stuck with fiance Bridezilla. Jeez, she is like really anxious to tell everyone.
We need to tell everyone now.
Well, that's what it's all about.
It's been 6 fucking months.
she wants to tell somebody.
Engaged. Oh my god, what's the big freaking secret?
Oh, we're dealing with Buffy's loss.
So what? It's been 6 fucking months. They could have had that wedding planned at this point.
I think Xander has cold feet.
And
I think she's going to tell everyone they're engaged, and he's going to be like, actually, we're not. And I'm breaking up with you.
I'm secretly in love with Tara.
He's going to be like, no, when Buffy comes back, he's going to be like, she's going to see that he's really in love with Buffy and has been all this time. And then she's going to be pissed. And then that's going to be the end of Anya.
Aww. You think there's going to be an end to Anya that's premature to the end of the series?
Why not?
They would never kill off a major character.
I don't mean kill her off. She'll just be... They won't be together anymore.
They're not gonna. They're not just gonna break them up. Whedon's I think so. Gonna. I think Whedon is going to start massacring people. Okay.
Because that's what he's known for.
Is he?
So we'll start with. Yeah. We'll start with Tara, and we'll start with Dawn.
Or Giles can open up a magic shop in England, and then he'll come back, and then she'll go and manage that one.
Yeah.
There.
Good call.
Thank you.
Oh, she's going to open up franchises and she has to go manage them.
Oh, she would so totally do that.
Yeah.
It'll be all the money.
The magic shops. True. Yeah, so you know when I get together with my biker buddies and we burn random things? I love taking a big swig of whiskey and then spitting it out over a lit torch because I'm badass like that. Can I just say right now that breathing fire has never seemed to me as a badass thing ever? I've never, ever, ever looked at someone breathing fire and going, wow, that's badass. I was like, oh, look, someone with a $5 magic kit.
Well, magic
is potentially going to wind up with a burnt face.
True. Oh, here they are. About sorry, I'm watching along, but they're about to do the quartering of Buffy Bot.
Oh,
and Buffy's watching.
Yeah, they discussed that there were a lot of papers, things, articles written about misogyny on that part, and the existential. Of watching yourself being torn apart. Mm-hmm. And then they talked to... What, Simone?
I was just saying the fact that Buffy watches the Buffy bot get drawn and quartered is, like, so messed up. It's worse. Yeah. It's almost worse than crawling out of her own grave and seeing her tombstone. Like,
yeah, she gets traumatized crawling out of a grave, and then she gets traumatized again seeing herself being drawn and quartered.
Oh, that's so gross.
I wonder if she'll get even more traumatized when she sees how long her hair's gotten and how it's not as blonde as it used to be.
Tell me about it. Although they do say that your hair keeps growing.
Yes.
Yeah. And your fingernails.
Yeah.
And toenails.
Yeah. I think that was...
Maybe that's why she had those open-toed shoes.
Maybe.
But her hair's not ombre.
No.
As it would be.
This is true. Well, it was out of the sun for so long, right?
That's true.
Mm-hmm. Justified.
6 months.
6 months.
They did say 6 months, right? I'm not just pulling that figure out of my ass.
I don't remember them saying a time frame.
I don't think it really matters, so I'm going to be with Gabby 6 months later.
Yeah, it doesn't matter, I don't think.
If someone could back me up on that, I'd really appreciate it.
Yeah, it was 6 months for sure. I just triple checked. It was 6 months to the day.
Really?
No, I'm just lying because I want Gabby to feel good.
I've watched this episode a lot, and I know something from the future.
Well, don't say anything from the future.
I'm not saying anything. I'm just saying probably not 6 months.
Oh,
probably not.
Marty Noxon says that she doesn't believe that structure was built by crazy people. Didn't you say something about that, Gabby?
Probably.
That the tower didn't look like it was built by crazy
people. It was just weird.
Yeah. It was weird having the shots from season 5 just edited in.
Mm-hmm.
And, okay. Tara had told the writers that she wanted to be badass and, you know, fight. So they had her axe one of those demons and say something like, "Wouldn't you say, don't mess with my girlfriend," or something like,
"Nobody messes with my girlfriend."
Yeah. Okay. And then Marty Noxon, and I don't know if it's the time where this is not so offensive, but Marty Noxon says that Tara gets to act all butch.
Oh,
really? That was butch?
I don't think she meant it as butch as in as a butch lesbian.
I know.
I'm pretty sure she just meant it as butch as in
badass.
Badass. Because the word butch didn't used to mean, you know, short hairs, cardigan and Birkenstocks. They used to mean something else.
See, that's what I didn't know if it was like the time, you know, in 2001, 2002, if it, you know, how, what the connotation was.
Yeah. By the way, for all of you butch lesbians out there, I have butch lesbians in my family. Please, I love you all.
As do I. As do we all.
Stop wearing the plaid, okay?
Well, yes. And I have been mistaken for one many a time.
Get out of town. Bullshit. I've seen you in person.
People ask me all the time. They don't ask me if I'm a butch lesbian. They just ask me if I'm a regular one.
Oh, they just ask you if you're a lesbian because you're attractive.
I guess so.
Yes, yes.
And because you're not married.
Yes.
I'm not, yeah.
Oh.
It was like.
Yeah, you have all the signs.
Yeah.
She's attractive. She's not married. She's in entertainment.
Do you must drive?
Must be a lesbo.
Do you drive a Subaru?
No.
Okay.
Hey, that's really funny what you just said. Because remember those people in my family I mentioned?
Let me guess, they drive Subaru Outbacks?
Perhaps.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Perhaps. Maybe some of them are more successful than your average butch lesbian and they drive a Subaru Tribeca.
Oh, nice.
The only reason I know that reference is because of the L word.
That was such an awesome whole show.
Subaru Outback thing with Dana.
Oh, love it. There are awesome cars. Don't knock them.
So it's season 6. We now have Tara and Willow using Harry Potter spells at will.
But and I like that.
No one steal my quote.
Use them all the time. I do like that they're using them. Like I even liked when Tara used it to help Anya get off the bike.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, okay, useful, useful.
And so we're basically having this standoff between these demons. And is this the first time that the show Buffy the Vampire Slayer has had such a direct implication of rape about to transpire?
When they were all attacking Buffy Bot?
No, when this guy was basically saying that he was about to rape Willow.
What?
What? Oh, wait,
what? Yeah, it was crazy. There was all kinds of...
Were we watching the same show?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, he was threatening all kinds of...
I know that one of them calls the Buffy bot a girl toy and implies he might do something to her. Mm-hmm. Oh, wait, you're talking about like at the end there.
Yeah.
In the alleyway where he's
in
all
the
like,
alleyway.
Our dunk is kind of spiky and you're going to get messed up.
Yeah, exactly.
Enjoy.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Weird.
Yeah.
Is that the one that Tara?
We're not going to fight you. We're just going to hold you down and enjoy ourselves for a few hours.
Mm-hmm.
You might even live through it. Except that certain of my boys got some anatomical incompatibilities that tend to tear up a little girl.
Right.
Oh, my.
Yes.
Wow.
I was not imagining this. Who wants to go first?
Oh, crap.
Wow.
Sorry if I stole anyone's rapey quote.
No, I don't know if it's the first time. Because I feel like there are other episodes where some guys do get a little bit fresh.
Yeah.
And it gets a little bit creepy.
Yeah, I think this was the most rapey.
He was talking about his actual area and what he was actually going to do. So that
he was talking about his demon dick, yo. Yeah. Full-on demon dick reference, man.
And it's cat spikes or whatever. What is that animal that's area has spikes?
I don't know.
Apparently, those demons are part of that animal.
No, isn't it a cat?
I think that's a myth.
Yeah, there's a cat. Oh, okay.
Are we talking about a... What is it, a cat of nine tails? What is
Oh,
that?
No.
What? No. Okay. Well, pigs have, like, corkscrewy ones.
I think that's their tails.
No!
What kind of CNC did you play with?
That's what I thought.
Pig goes screw? What?
That's why
Miss Gordo had the tail placed in the wrong area.
Yeah, I don't think you're...
I don't want to talk about this.
So also, that one demon, when they're in the alley, he really looked like Edward Scissorhands. The one with the black hair.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Dawn and her really crappy fake football helmet from the 50s or the 70s.
What do you say? Come fly with me, little pigeon?
Yeah. I don't know, man. Spike's got the weirdest terms of endearment.
Yeah.
And I've watched this episode now 3 times, and the way Spike gets off that motorcycle when they're approaching Buffybot is the funniest. You should rewatch it. He's like, getting off the motorcycle. He over gestures like crazy, being so badass. It's just, James Marsters.
Old man getting off a motorcycle.
Yep. That's what I think. I think James Marsters is getting old.
Teenage bride.
With his teenage bride.
Ew.
What?
Nothing.
You guys are like overreacting, man. Hi. Would you like to sit down and have some iced tea?
Seemed like Spike still had some residual feelings for Buffybot in these 2 episodes.
Yeah.
I can tell
no one likes that prospect.
Spike?
He's sad because a robot? She's gone.
But don't forget, he did have sex with that robot.
And now he can't look at the robot.
But
Well, I don't know, Kim. Now that Buffy's back from the dead, don't you think it's just natural that Spike and Buffy are going to get it on?
I hope not.
Why do you say that?
I just hope that they don't.
I think it's going to happen. I think they're
going to get together, but I don't think it's going to be. She'll be under a spell or something.
You think so? I think she's never going to be right.
Or he's going to be human for like 3 episodes or something, and she's going to. They're going
like
to have
a real boy.
Human. Exactly, they're having a human moment. It's not going to be Buffy the Slayer and Spike the Vampire ever getting together. I see what you're saying.
So like you don't think it's
there has to be some fairy dust involved with them getting together. And I just hope that if they do, it's under that where you can be like, well, technically they weren't together, really. That's what I hope. Because they built up the whole Buffy-Angel relationship from the beginning.
Yeah.
And nothing should or ever will trump that.
Mm-hmm.
That's my theory.
Yeah. I would rather see Buffy alone.
Yeah.
Than with anybody else.
So, we're all in agreement that no one tells Riley, and then he shows up and it's like, oh my God, you're alive! And they're like, oh yeah, we forgot to tell you. Yeah.
He doesn't even know she's dead, though.
Well, everyone knows she's dead. She had a funeral. It was like 6 months ago.
But he
No one knows because everyone's telling the Buffy bot that if she acts really strange, they're going to realize that the real Buffy is dead.
I'm an idiot. Buffy bot was at the parent-teacher meeting. Nobody knows.
Yes.
But then why would they have
a grave, a tombstone?
With her full name?
Yeah.
The show is so confusing.
I've never understood that myself. I mean, you'd think you'd leave a headstone list, but yeah. I guess they really want to honor her or something.
They want to make sure that's where she was.
They actually buried her. They buried her where her tombstone is.
You know, how unethical or immoral is it not to let her father know that she's dead?
Yeah, come on now.
He didn't call it.
That's true.
Fuck that guy. He deserves nothing.
Yeah.
You know what?
Suspend your disbelief.
He was supposed to take her skating and he didn't fucking show up.
Yeah. Whoa.
That's a terrible
fuck problem. Him.
Yeah. What a dick.
What a demon
was like
dick.
Hello.
I'm here.
Okay.
She broke the internet.
And then David Fury and Marty Noxon discuss how they kind of get pigeonholed because he wishes he could write Pussified like she does, and she wishes she could write comedy, and how great it is to work on this show because you, even if you're a comedy writer, you can write melodramatic, mm-hmm. and if you're a melodramatic writer, you could write comedy and mm-hmm. blah blah blah.
Which one of them enjoyed raping the rape innuendo more?
You know, they didn't discuss that, no. But yeah.
I'm sorry. It's just it was so jarring to me to hear that. That it was like when I started talking about it and you guys didn't have a recollection. I'm like, oh shit, what am I actually remembering, right? And no, lucky it was Buffy.
Maybe that was included in the misogyny discussion.
Mm-hmm. I think so.
Papers.
It must
because
have.
They talk about how, you know, there have always and there are still the symposiums where writers who write theses on Buffy they get together every year in a different place every year, mm-hmm. and they talk about how they would love to go to these symposiums, but they're too busy
being super cool.
Yeah.
Awesome.
And also I feel like it's Marty Noxon discusses she tries to make this point of she gets all these letters from fans who say, see, Spike has changed. He's good. He is deserving of a relationship with Buffy.
That's so stupid. Ugh. He has not changed. I mean, if you follow the guidelines of the show, right, the fictional universe that we're in, okay?
Uh-huh.
He's still a soulless demon. He just has a chip in his head.
Uh-huh.
It's not because he can, like, sing country now that he's a different person.
It's because he's in love with Buffy, and they're like, well...
He's not in love with her. He's obsessed with her. There's a big difference. He's all totally stalker guy. He's still just a stalker.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's obsessed with her.
He's
I
cute.
Think Willow is a little obsessed with her.
Well, yeah, which is again goes to my theory that Willow brought her back to kill her,
so she can become wait. Her.
No,
or will bringing her back lead to killing her? As I hope so. Being the
I really hope so.
Back.
I really, really hope so. I hope so. I hope Willow gets to kill the F out of Buffy.
I think that with Buffy coming back, they're going to have to get rid of somebody.
Tara?
Anya? Oh, God, please, yes.
Well, I think
the
only logical one would be Tara because it would be the one that means the most to Willow because Willow's the one that brought her back.
That goes back to my theory of season 5 where Willow was going to kill Buffy for vengeance because of what happened to Tara. Now that Buffy's back, Buffy will be directly responsible for Tara's death and Willow will seek vengeance. She'll be foiled at first, which means that we get to follow her arc into madness and evil and despair. And then I bet you the series finale is Willow killing Buffy.
I think it's going to be. For I think we're going to have an arc of like Willow's choice. Who do I choose? Or do I choose Buffy?
And surprise, she goes with Giles. Gillo for life!
Gillow.
Yeah.
I watched the finale, season 6 finale, before rewatching this premiere. I'm not going to say anything. I'm just saying I did rewatch.
Where are my sunglasses?
Season 6 finale or 5 finale?
The season 6 finale.
Oh, okay, so we're not there.
No, we're not. Can I?
I'm not going to say anything. I'm just saying.
You've said too much already. I don't want to know that a finale exists for this season, okay? You start talking about there's a finale for this season.
How
I get
do you
into
feel
my
about
mind.
Series finale.
Oh my God, there's no such thing. There's comics after, right? Aren't we doing all the comics, you guys? For those of you betting that we're going to do the comics, let me tell you right now.
No.
I don't read. So there you go. this makes watching things with subtitles really, really confusing. Can we all, just to bring it back to this episode, can we all agree that Buffy going through the whole "I'm gonna jump off here again" thing was really, really, really difficult to watch? I had a hard time watching it and not going, "Ugh, this is stupid."
I had a lot tough time watching because I felt like the scene went on forever.
Mm-hmm.
It was so, and I all I could think about is that if this was on today, this scene would be cut in half.
Yeah.
With the way people have such short attention spans, I was like, "This is ridiculous." I think
most likely, quite literally, it lasted much longer than the original scene of them up there. Yes. Maybe because it wasn't like intercut with anything else going on. We just focused on these two sisters.
I think so.
One of whom came from nothing and the other one is resurrected. Can we finally say they're not related now? Okay, no? Never mind.
And maybe it has to... Go ahead, Simone. Go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, I was wondering what everyone thought about Dawn saying that she's no longer the key.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I noticed that and I was like, yippee. Now you're just a normal, boring girl.
Well, is that the case, or that what they're telling her? She had this look of uneasiness about her. I don't know. I really don't know. I'm just playing devil's
advocate. I bet you that never comes up ever again.
Her being the key.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Well, yeah, I mean, I'll just go ahead and tell you. It's the show saying she's a normal girl. We've moved past it. That's over with. That's in the past. She's a girl. She's here. She's
all right.
Okay, but let's talk about the scene with Buffy and Dawn. And you say it goes on to maybe it has to do with they had planned for these two episodes to be just two standalone episodes, and it was going to be smaller in scale. Dawn was going to like almost fall and Buffy was going to catch her and it was going to be, you know, the end. And they had to make it epic for UPN to have a big special night. Or maybe it has to do with how David Fury says that he can't write pussyfied. Maybe. That he doesn't write melodramatic. He's a comedy writer.
It just dragged, and it was them, Buffy, and she's going, and then like,
I'm sorry, what was that?
Walk towards me, and she's like, and then
wow.
Come closer to me. And I was like, can we speed this along?
It was really lame and slow.
Mm-hmm.
For me, it's the fact that they show flashbacks of the gift and then literally have them in this new scene repeating the same lines that they said, even though they've already done the flashback as well as already having the episode itself. It's a bit much, but
redundant. Yeah. They didn't even need the flashback, but I understand why they did it.
Yeah.
And I don't know, maybe they just didn't have enough to move the story along because of what could have they shown in it play in place of it? Her kicking some more vampire ass or another fight or Willow and
her being Xander hospitalized. I don't know.
Yeah, her gaining her senses back.
You know what would be perfect? This just dawned on me.
No the pun
perfect
intent.
First words out of resurrected Buffy's mouth should have been,
"Is this hell?
You mean there's a connection between Ben and Glory?" That would have been fantastic.
That would have been epic.
So what you're saying is
that would have been hilarious.
Ben has been subletting off of Glory. And there is no connection.
Wow.
Was it me or when Buffy was looking down at the ground, was there a cut to a scene where someone was running?
I missed that if I was there.
At the tower, there is, in fact, a person down there just walking around.
Yeah,
I noticed that every time I watch this episode.
Because I was like, is that a mistake? Because I thought, because the person was wearing red, and I'm like, is that a mistake? And they only had video of Dawn running, so they had to, they repeated it, and Dawn was actually in the frame.
That's weird.
It was very...
I haven't actually been able to decipher what it is, but yeah, she does, whoever it is wearing a red sweater like Michelle is in the scene, so who knows? But yeah, there is a person just walking around down there. Wow, yeah, they're up there scary. Doing their thing.
It was very random, but yeah.
Yep.
That's what else in this episode?
How do you all feel about the numbered shirts?
The numbered shirts?
Huh?
Yeah, how Xander wore a shirt with the number 13 on it, and Willow wore a shirt with the number 11 on it, and
Willow wore a shirt with
the number 07.
Oh.
What does that mean?
I didn't notice that.
Well, it's
I'm just curious if you guys noticed.
Oh. To me, it's very distracting.
Wait, is it Chris Carter's birthday that they're showing us? No? Okay.
It's his wife's birthday.
Oh, okay.
It was like a fad. It was like number shirts were in. And the, did Shauna Tripp do these costumes? Because... it's very distracting to me. Like, I noticed it right off the bat the first time I watched it.
So we should be doing number
shirts. About it in the commentary.
Huh.
Do what?
I mean, like, should we do numbered shirt watch?
You should pay attention to it.
Because I totally did not pay attention. I couldn't keep my eyes off of Anya's big, gigantic white belt with all the holes.
Yep, that was an awesome belt.
Or Tara's pink jeans.
What kept distracting me was Willow's pendant.
I didn't know.
And her necklace. It was very, very red.
Oh.
Oh, that one.
It was distracting to me as I was thinking.
The other one's
not. Is Amber Benson a worse runner or an actress?
You know what, that opening scene when it's Tara running with a stake in her hand, I was like, oh shit, is that Faith?
Really?
For the first split second, yeah, I was like, oh.
And you remembered she was in jail, right?
No.
Oh.
I figured that they would explain that away if it was her, because I thought it was in the future.
I thought it was. Well, it is in the future, but
I thought that Tara was running a lot like Phoebe Buffay.
Yes, exactly. Exactly.
You mean Ursula the Waitress?
I love that she's like, the devil is just my neighbor's dog.
Oh, God.
Any Son of Sam reference, yes. All right. Hey, are we ready to play some feedback?
Sure.
Yeah, let's do that.
I think we've gone on long enough talking about a myriad of things. let me just double check here. Yeah, we're recording. Good. So, hey, we have some audio feedback from Moira Brown.
Oh, it's her favorite.
Here's bargaining part one, and then I'm going to play her bargaining part two.
She lives directly between you and I, Illyrio.
I know. I've been to her house.
Directly.
I've swum in her pool.
I'm so jealous.
I've nibbled on her cookies.
Ooh.
What? That's a little bit too much information.
All right. Here, let me rewind.
Say what? I thought she posted pictures of the Ripley's Believe It or Not Aquarium here in Toronto. I guess she visited. And I'm not even kidding you. It is a 3-minute walk from my place.
My father-in-law went and said it was fantastic.
Yeah.
Here we go. Here's Moira.
Hi, Potential Cast. It's Moira. Just watch Bargaining, part one. Wow. I was looking at the opening credits, and I saw Michelle Trachtenberg's name, and I thought, oh, okay, I guess they're keeping her. I don't know why I thought Dawn would just magically disappear.
I know.
when Buffy dove into that cosmic void. Maybe because Dawn was a creation, I thought maybe somehow, since it was all an artifice, she would just be destroyed. So I can't decide quite how I feel about her still being around. I think it'll be interesting, though, to hear what you guys think. Since I know most of you are not too keen on Dawn. Poor Palmolive. But anyway, I really enjoyed this episode. I liked the opening sequence where Willow is standing on the mausoleum and she's somehow telepathically talking to the rest of the Scoobies. That was really cool. Her powers as a witch are becoming pretty impressive. Buffy Bot provides a little bit of comic relief. I'm feeling sad for Giles because he's so lost, and God, I sure hope he's coming back. I don't want him out of the series. So, crossing my fingers about that airplane's going to turn right around and come back. And I thought the closing sequence of this particular episode was amazing. That's like a nightmare out of everybody's horror movie where you wake up inside of a coffin. In fact, they've done horror movies about that. That's just so creepy. But it's so good, too. So now I'm just going to trot right along and watch part two. As usual, cannot wait to hear what you guys think. Till next time. Bye.
Bye, Moira.
Oh, Moira.
And then Moira watched part two and then sent this in.
Hi, potential cast. So it's Moira again.
She sounds so sad.
And I have to say, it's left me feeling a little deflated. A couple of points. All right, I'm glad that the Buffy bot has been destroyed. Not because I enjoyed watching that happen, but because I think it was a nice way to tie up that loose end. I don't think that having the Buffy bot around perpetually in this season would be a good thing. So I'm glad it's gone. I thought the moment of recognition on the faces of the Scoobies, when Xander pointed out to them that they'd resurrected Buffy inside her coffin, was really quite poignant. I am a little disturbed because it seems as if Buffy is in an understandable state of shock and confusion, and I suppose, you know, making her way back to the tower on some level is how she's trying to sort out what happened to her. So I kind of get that. But what bothered me was it seems as if it's Dawn that she connects to. It's Dawn that, you know, brings her back into some sense of reality. Buffy, as she says, is this hell? She's not sure where she is or what's happened to her. But, you see, I would have thought that seeing the Scoobies, that seeing Willow in particular and Xander, people who've been her friends for years, I would have thought that might have been a stronger anchor for her. And so for the writers to choose to have it be, you know, reconnecting with Dawn over the moment before she jumped originally into the precipice, like, to have that be the thing that seems to bring her back into herself somehow bothered me. And I, you know, I may be the only one who feels that way, and I don't mean to be, glum about the episode or being negative, but it just bugged me that carried more weight for Buffy than the previous history she'd had with all those other people. So I'll be interested to see if any of you feel the same, or maybe it's just me, I don't know. I also think poor Buffy's spent an awful lot of time recently in catatonic zombie states. So I'm hoping that the next episode we see her, shaken but still more like her old self. I hope it's not a really long time to recover. Unlike Angel, who stayed glum, unhappy Angel for many episodes, I hope Buffy comes back into herself more quickly. So Buffy's back, and I guess we see where we go from here. I'd be really interested to hear how you guys responded to this. All right, take care. Till next time. Bye.
Thank you, Moira.
Good points. Really good points.
Yeah, I think that if Dawn was a better character, it would carry more weight.
I totally agree.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think if they had her, you know, the anchor for her to come back was something to do with Willow and Xander, the three of them, they've been together since the beginning. Mm-hmm. It might have resonated more, but yeah, I totally see why she would be not upset, but just disappointed by that. I mm-hmm. totally agree.
Agreed. Thank you, Moira. We have an email from Heidi. I'm going to start reading it right now. Hey, Gags! Okay. You're on to season 6, and I'm anxious to hear your reactions to many things this season. I enjoy the first half of the two-part premiere more than the second. Watching the Scoobies choose to do dark magic to bring Buffy back is much more interesting than newly resurrected Buffy being chased by biker demons. Willow killing the deer, that's dark stuff. Very dark. I expect Illyrio to be very excited. Yes.
You were right.
I was. back to the email. I love that we get more Buffybot. And that scene with Dawn missing her sister is really well done. I also like Spike being on babysitting duty, but poor Buffybot in the end. I also find it very interesting that Buffy had to claw her way out of her grave, much like a vampire. What do you think is going on with Buffy? Just shock? Until next time, Heidi. Yeah, I mean, none of us mentioned it explicitly, but like Heidi says, it was just, she got the vampire treatment.
Leading.
Pardon?
A little bit leading, but I totally like the point.
Mm-hmm. Agreed.
I didn't even make that connection.
Really?
She's a vampire slayer. Mm-hmm. And I was just whew, right over my head. I did not even see
yeah,
that.
Yeah, I didn't catch it either. But all the times I've watched it.
Buffy the vampire slayer.
Wait, what? No. That's no. Angel is the vampire slayer.
Vampire slayer. Oh, but then so Buffy funny. And Angel could be together forever as vampire slayers.
Awesome.
Time out. Remember my theory? I thought Angel was going to be here. I'm so upset I didn't see Angel.
No.
I thought he was going to be there to help Willow.
No.
Hey, there could be a flashback. It could be 6 months, right?
It could be. You're right.
Could be.
Yeah, like when did Willow get back from LA? I'm confused. Hey, mm-hmm. Facebook feedback. Let's skip over the part where I'm clarifying that we're doing part 1 and 2. Julia says, Willow, why did you have to bring Buffy back? I was looking forward to seeing Buffybot as a slayer for the rest of the series.
Sure.
Rachel yes. adds, thank God that there was enough action with Buffybot that we were able to ignore just how awful the demon bikers were. They were crappy enough that they would be a better fit on Angel's season 1. Remember that show? Zing! Remember that show indeed. Zing! Hey-o!
Awesome.
But because the bikers being awful and ineffective, Tara gets her first official Scooby kill, and it's kind of awesome. Also awesome, yes, Spike cool. and Dawn on the dirt bike. Willow special the mummy effects as she performs the nasty spell. But why did Willow lie about the mother's milk? And did you guys notice the special costume change? She's wearing white before she slices open Bambi's neck, and then she's wearing red afterwards. Ooh. Farewell, Buffybot. You were the best. In bed, Rachel? That's what I think you should add. Okay. That was just me. And by best, I mean I have a coffee mug, baseball shirt, and wine bottle with that one quote on them. You know, the one about almost paste, about almond paste and dishes and things you yell out in excitement.
Yes. That's yep. funny.
What?
I want that.
I'll have to wait.
Yeah, wait after the quotes. Harold says, they updated the opening credits. Now Anthony Stewart Head is not in the credits and is only a special guest star. Does that mean Jaws is gone from the series or will he pop up again? No one answer. And Tara still doesn't get included with the regular cast. What is up with that? Get a new agent, honey. I love that, Harold. I hope I said that exactly the way you wanted me to say it. Get a new agent, honey. Is it just me or does it seem like Buffybot gets stronger and weaker depending on the needs of the scene?
Yeah, it's in the commentary.
Don't tell nobody.
Yeah, David Fury says it's funny how the Buffybot, you know, can change her excitement level or, you know, her emotion depending on the scene, what they need.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, don't apologize. How is it that April the robot was close to an even match for Buffy? Or Buffybot could go a few minutes with Glory, yet now she has problems with run-of-the-mill vampires. True.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Willow's in charge of programming, so.
True.
Susan says, "Hey, Rachel, that's one of my favorite quotes, too. I say it all the time." That's the quote that you don't get off the bat, Kim. We're going to come back to that later. Ashley says, "Buffy's resurrection is the best. Seeing her corpse transforming back to life is just simply awesome." Ooh, Willow killed Bambi.
Bob DeGrant says, let me go ahead.
Yes, yes.
Bob DeGrant says, "I was happy to see Buffy bought back. I much prefer her to Buffy." Was bored silly by the bikers and was really annoyed with Willow killing a deer.
Really? Yeah. I thought it was fantastic.
Of course you did.
Ina says, "Ina, I like parts of this, but the demon bikers are the worst. Giles leaving made me so sad. Spike babysitting Dawn is great. Buffybot is awesome. R.I.P. Buffybot. And the spell is scary. I also like the way the world looks to Buffy when she comes back to life, all blurry and unreal."
Very soap that's opera a great effect. June sequence-ish. Ashley says, "I wonder how much Gabby hates that Tara did the Ger Arg."
Oh, Ashley.
She's psychic.
Yeah, ESPN. Patrick says, "I know Joyce's death was devastating, but Buffy's was pretty bad as well. But none of you were prepared for the end of the Buffy bot."
No, we were not.
Oh, it makes me sad. It hurts my heart.
Julia, who, by the way, you have the most awesome last name, Julia. "Tara doing the Ger Arg is the best."
Ugh. Wrong, Julia.
Rachel says, "Didn't someone, Kim or Gabby, predict that Willow and Tara would move into Buffy's house? Well done, you."
Probably Gabby.
Isa Yilmaz says, "Observer cast representing." I think that's a reference to our guest.
I don't know.
No, I think that's the appropriate response. Yo yo.
Val says, "One of the creepiest effects on the show was when Corpse Buffy turned into Alive Buffy. Oh my God, her eyes rolling back. And even though you didn't see anything, I still can't watch the bleeding of Bambi scene. And finally, that damn rickety eyesore tower is gone."
So, can we just say that the Sunnydale Health Department doesn't cover all kinds of really crazy buildings that are about to fall? Yeah. Also, is there like an uncut scene where you see Willow actually killing a deer? Never mind.
They had to cut it. There was a lot of blood.
Really?
Really?
Oh, that's intriguing.
Wow. It traumatized Allie. She couldn't do it. People had to be there for her because she was crying during that scene.
They didn't actually make her kill a deer, right?
They put milk on her hands to make the deer come to her.
Yeah.
God.
Yeah.
But then she had to put the deer in probably in a headlock for a few seconds before they.
I don't think they'd let you do that.
And move the cat. Well, you know what I mean. Yeah. She had to act like she was. You know.
I suppose.
But that was just I think how it ended up was just fine with her having this vague stare into the distance and you just see her arms going nuts. That was good enough.
Yes, I agree. Yeah. It was fine.
You get the idea.
Thanks for feedback, everyone. Hey, you know, if you want to get in touch with us, you can use technology to do that. If you have a telephoning device, you may realize that the thing you use to take selfies actually also makes phone calls.
What?
Yeah. I know.
Shut up.
No one tell Ellen.
Please, nobody.
By the way, this is the first year in many a year that I did not watch the Oscars.
I did not either.
I was busy. Busy hanging out and drinking pina coladas by the pool.
The thing is, nowadays, you don't need to watch it because it'll just show you the highlights.
YouTube, yeah.
Like, there are so many jokes and bits, I'm doing air quotes right now, that were so horrible. And she had two bits that were funny, and those were the ones that got all the airplay. And everyone's like, oh, my God, Ellen was the greatest. She was a horrible host.
Mm. I saw clips of her fucking up a lot.
Yeah.
I don't care who you are or what you do. Nothing can be worse than a song about seeing actresses' boobs. But I digress. Last year. Anyway.
Yeah. I didn't mind that.
If you want to use your selfie device to call us, the number is 270-40-BUFFY. That device you used to take.
Does it still work?
Yeah, of course. You can also use an electronic device of some kind to send us an email at.
You can use your selfie device to do that as
mm-hmm.
well.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Potentialcast@gmail.com.
Yeah. You can follow us on our Twitter sheet. Just hit F at Potentialcast. And I think the last bit. Oh, Potentialcast.com, guys. Have you guys been to Potentialcast.com recently? It's full of it's full of postings for this podcast. It's where we put our show notes, we release the shows, put direct download links. We have links to previous seasons. I know I have to get to season 4. I know. And Potential Cast Facebook group. Really, that's where all the action is. And you can join, ask to join. If you are, let me just tell you right now, if you're listening to the show and you are someone who just got on Facebook 2 days prior and your profile picture is of a young, attractive Asian woman and you have no friends, I will not allow you into the group because you're obviously a spammer and you're just going to tell us to go buy shoes somewhere. So if you're a real human with a real Facebook account, feel free to ask to join the Potential Cast group. That's facebook.com/groups/PotentialCast. Keep it spoiler free or else I will kill a deer.
And then change from white to red.
That's your right.
Clothing style.
Yes. That's right. Because I wear white all the time. I do not wear white. I am overweight. I do not wear white.
I don't own anything that's white.
Darn right. Well, I have white running socks. That's and a white running hat. But that's it.
I don't even think I own white socks.
Really?
Like, I think all my socks are black or like a funky design.
Mm-hmm. I'm sure. So stylish.
Well, you know, being perfect and all. Hey,
I think it's time for our ratings.
Okay.
Guest, go. Wait.
Their email.
Oh, okay.
Should we rate these as separately or one together? Oh, I know. None of us is keeping a spreadsheet of our ratings. Let's do whatever we want. Simone, lovely guest from the land down under.
Okay.
Do you know how hard it's been for me not to say that all this time and to wait this long? Vegemite.
You can wait for this one if you want.
I said that directly into a mirror, and no Vegemite has appeared. I just want everyone to know.
Aww. That's unfortunate, because it's really yummy.
Mm-hmm. It kicks Marmite's ass.
You know what's hilarious, though? I prefer Promite.
Really?
Which is... Yeah, I do. I don't know why,
all right.
But I do prefer that.
That's
one.
That's fine. Mm. Hey! Right. Hey, guest!
Yes.
What did you think of the episode?
I love it. I watched it a bajillion times. It's fun, and Buffy Bot is awesome, and I like Xander, and I like Spike, and things are heading in a different direction this season, I think, and I rate it a 9 out of 10.
Wow, 9 out of 10 what, whoa. Guest? And if you say squirrels, I'm hanging up on you.
Sorry. Snow squirrels. No. Bunnies, because we did get a nice little Anya and bunnies
yes.
thing in this episode. Yes. So, yeah. 9 out of 10 bunnies.
Awesome. Gabby.
Mm-hmm.
Go for it.
I hate being the shit stirrer, and that seems to be my function lately.
I have a secret to you, Gabby. You don't hate being that at all. Go on.
Well, so I just thought it was meh.
Mm-hmm.
It was difficult to watch a second time. Like, I watched them after we recorded last time, and I put off rewatching it again, and I fell asleep both times I tried to watch them to take notes. So I'm going to say that I was very underwhelmed by the whole thing. And it's so obvious that they've changed networks because the show looks and feels completely different to me.
It does, doesn't it?
It's like I'm watching something completely foreign that I have no backstory on, even though I clearly have five seasons of it. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I'm hoping that... I'm not crazy about the fact that they brought Buffy back. I think there's just a lot of bad juju that's going to happen. Tara still being around obviously bothers me, and I will continue to bitch about it until she finally dies. I'm assuming that that's going to happen, and I will be super happy. But I'm still not buying the love between the two of them. I'm not going to say I'm sorry because I'm just still not buying it. I'm pissed off at Xander because I don't know what his fucking holdup is, talking about this being engaged business. I don't care if Buffy died. They have to move on with their lives. Move on with your lives, people.
But the show is called Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
Yeah. So I'm so it will be nice to see her not be a cave person. I can't wait for actual words and to see if she's going to go back to her former self or a different incarnation, whatever. Just more, it's just more than grunts and being freaked out. I'm looking forward to that. I'm hoping that happens soon. But whatever. I'm going to give this 5 out of 10 drawn and quartered sex bots.
Wow.
Yeah. Wow. It didn't totally suck, but...
Oh, no, I don't disagree with your rating. It was the drawn and quartered sex bots that I had an issue with. Okay. Yeah. Kimberly! You're cool.
Wow. I think the one saving grace of this episode... Well, I won't say that. The one saving grace. I think the best part of these two episodes was Willow. I'm enjoying her transformation. I'll say it again. I don't mind that they brought Buffy back. It's her show. She's the reason why they're all there. I think we knew it was happening. I did like the sort of sleight of hand at the beginning. I honestly didn't even think of Buffy Bot. And I was like, whoa! And then I was like, oh, before the credits started to roll. I don't like that Giles isn't part of the opening credits. Overall, I thought it was a good episode. I don't think it was fantastic. I don't think it was bad, but it was sort of meh. I am excited to see what's happening next, so I'm going to give it 7 out of 10 ExpressoPump.com mobile.
That was pretty awesome. Well, I'm going to take the cheap way out, and I'm going to rate the first half of this double episode 4.5 out of 5. And I'm going to rate the second half of the episode. Let's see. Well, 4.5, the first one, 4.5 out of 5 plaques with sparkles on it. And the second half is going to be, I mean, mostly because I felt that they went on and on and on. With Dawn and Buffy back on the oil rig, and it was just anyway. I didn't like that part. I really enjoyed Buffy, but I thought that she was a little too catatonic for my taste. Anyway, so the second half I'm more gonna give it a 2.5 out of 5 unnecessarily
harsh, man.
Unnecessarily rapey demons.
You guys are harsh.
And so I think
harsh.
What did I give the first half again?
4 out of 5.
4.5 out of 5.
Oh, was it 4.5? Okay.
Plus,
I thought that was a half.
2.5 or 3.5? I forget already.
2.5.
It's 2.5. So carry the 14. That's gonna be that's gonna be a 7 out of 10.
Oh, you're adding them together. I see.
Little finger puppets.
You're not going to average it.
I thought you were going to average it. And I was like, that's tough.
No, I was adding, which is just as difficult for me without Excel. Okay. So yeah, so I'm giving it a 7 out of 10 little finger puppets.
Okay. All right. Gabby, you said that this was like a totally different show. I'll tell you why. Joss is not around.
Oh.
He is at the Cape writing a very special episode.
Of Buffy?
Uh-huh.
So he's in Cape Cod.
Uh-huh.
So is this the first premiere that he was not a part of?
Probably. I'm sure. And there are a couple, okay, like...
Was he busy guest starring on Veronica Mars or something?
I think that was later. That was later, because that was in like 05, 04.
Was he working on Firefly yet? Or was that later?
That's a little later, okay. I think. I think he's ramping up to do that. I think maybe he's like leaving the kids at home by themselves a little bit. Mm.
And they put raisin bread in the microwave, which you should never do, I learned today.
That's a nice metaphor for this season.
Yeah.
Raisin bread in the microwave.
So, like, the first scene, the teaser scene, I feel like Joss left notes for that. And there's the scene where Dawn goes into the bedroom where Buffy Bot's being charged, and she lays down with her and cuddles with her sister, her surrogate sister or whatever. There's, like, a couple of scenes that are obviously Joss, and they stand out in this episode that you can tell he was not present for. I feel like this is they bit off more than they could chew. If they wanted this to be an epic episode, it just did not live up to what they wanted it to be. And I know that the writers make it obvious, discussing it in the commentary, that Marty could not write comedy and David could not write melodrama. Because, like, in the start out early in the episode where Marty has the Buffy bot run into the wall, and she said that just never worked. Or the line about the knock knock joke, she said, that just never worked. So it's like she knows what's funny, but she can't make the funny work on the page. And anyway, so I guess I give it 6 out of 10, obviously missing geniuses.
Awesome. Well, I'd like to thank our guest for being on the show before we get to quotes. Simone, where can we listen to you?
You can listen to me talk on ObserverCast.
Yay!
We just wrapped up the third season, so that was a huge letdown, but still, we're moving on to season 4, and from what I can tell, it's slightly better.
Excellent. And that's for which show again?
Fringe.
Cool. That's the X-Files spinoff?
It could be, yeah.
Could be, or a prequel of some kind, in a weird timeline of some kind.
I love everything about the alternate universe.
Yeah. Spoilers!
Not really.
It's quotey time. I think we should let Kim go first, because she's so well prepared.
Okay. I'll go last, like we can build the suspense.
Simone, what is your quote?
Sure. Well, I got a bunch of them. Do I need to whittle it down to just, like,
Well, give two? Us one, and then we'll do ours, and then you can do any others you wish.
This is Spike, and it's during that first scene at the graveyard, and they're killing that ginormous... I knew someone else was going to love this quote. So Spike is like, poor watcher, did your life pass before your eyes? Cup of tea, almost got shagged, cup of tea.
Yeah. That was awesome. Gabby.
Well, this is the sexiest quote of both of the episodes. and it comes from Buffy Bot. Disengaged from combat so Willow can service me. I'm sorry. It's so funny.
Nice.
And I tried not to laugh, but but I can't. It's funny. Bye.
Steph?
That'll put marzipan in your pie plate, bingo.
Let's just do that one over, since no one's watching us do this. Steph, okay. What's your quote?
That'll put marzipan in your pie plate, bingo. And it's because Jane Espenson thinks marzipan is a funny word.
It's also one of the grossest things you could ever put in your mouth.
Yes, it's not what you think it's going to be.
That's what she said.
What is marzipan? Are those hard candies?
No, it's almond paste. Like almond paste.
Okay. Good. It looks like it's fluffy, but it's hard as a rock.
It depends where you get it. It depends how long it's been sitting on the shelf. And it always tastes like... anyway. No. It just tastes like almond paste, which is surprisingly... I don't want to eat chalky, putty, plasticine-y that tastes like amaretto. That's not my thing.
Ooh, I hate amaretto.
You just made it sound delicious.
Hey. You had my quote amaretto. Is a very simple quote, and it is incendiare. Fucking loser. Sorry.
Big axe you got there. Better to cut you down to size, Grandma.
Kim, I missed the first half. Can you go again, please?
Big axe you got there. Better to cut you down to size, Grandma.
Like, awesome.
Come on, Xander.
Xander, really? Ridiculous.
Simone? I've got another Xander one.
Yay!
Here's Xander, and he's like, okay, when I'm marveling at the immaturity, be scared.
What do you say when the fairy light went? Since when is your girlfriend Tinkerbell? Do you say something like that?
Yeah.
That was cute. And he's like, I know I'm going straight. I'm following the North Star. That's an airplane.
Discovery Channel has monkeys and our tape machine's all wonky.
Our tape machine.
I love that quote.
By the way, completely unrelated, not a sponsor. If you remember having a VCR, may I recommend to you the YouTube channel and the Vine account known as It Came From the VCR. Ralph Oppel, formerly of the Darmalars, is doing this amazing anthology collection. He's curating amazingly horrible scenes from like direct to VHS movies that he finds at like Salvation Armies and thrift stores. And it is amazing. Some of the funniest, worst things you'd ever witnessed. So It Came From the VCR. So if your tape machine's all wonky, you can go check that out.
Awesome.
Any other honorable mentions before we salute each other and I go get a drink?
I have this quote from Willow. She says, I'm trying to be stiff upper lippy. And one last one from Dawn. And she says, I think this tower was built by crazy people.
Oh, John. When do we get rid of you?
Yeah. I'm scared that it's never going to happen.
Oh.
Ooh, thanks, if Dawn and Tara died at the same time, it would be a double shot of awesome.
Sorry. Oh, wow.
I don't think that's going to happen.
Damn it.
Yeah, that's not going to work out.
At okay.
All. All right. Oh, Steph is gone again. What?
No!
I'm going to just add her to call so she can properly tell us what's on the slate for next time. Hey, Steph.
Hey.
Hey, Steph. What's on the slate for next time? Excuse me. Wait, whoa. What's on the slate for next week?
Next week, 7 days from today, that will be episode 3, Afterlife.
Amazing.
Whoa.
Awesome.
That's going to be fantastic. It's a good episode. That will be awesome, awesome, awesome. Simone, thanks again for being our guest.
Thanks for having me back.
House of Chicks, relax. I'm a man, and I have a tool. Good night, everyone.
Namaste.
I'll eat all three,
mm-hmm.
but I just prefer
Primark.
In a cocktail?
Oh, Simone, this is going to seem like such a random question, but like, in Australia, do people have an obsession with squirrels? I guess not.
No, I don't think we have squirrels. Yeah, or at least not the kind you guys have.
Yeah, because I my cousin married an Australian.
Oh, I'm so sorry to hear mother, that.
Her mother is obsessed with squirrels. Like when she came here, she's like, "Oh my god, there's a squirrel!" And then I was like, "Okay." And she has pictures and like little wood carvings of squirrels in her house when we went visited her in Melbourne. And I was just like, "Is this a thing, or maybe it's just her?"
Kim, okay, I guess. Do you realize what you just did to our guest? Do you realize what you just did to our guest? You did what every Canadian person has to deal with whenever they're introduced as a Canadian to someone and say, "Hey, my friend Dan is Canadian. Do you know Dan?"
Do you know who she is?
And you say, "Yeah, Canadian Dan. He's dead."
Stop it. I never said.
Well, hey, I don't know that lady specifically.
Thank you. I was just saying, is that a thing in Australia?
Racist.
We have possums. We have possums. I don't think we have squirrels.
No. All right.
Don't you have
you can edit this out.
I know exactly where to put this too.
You can edit this out, but you're completely edited out. Otherwise, they're not going to let me back into the country when I come back soon.
Thank you.
You're listening to, what do I, oh my God.
You're listening to Potential Cast, season six, episode one and two.
Okay, got it. Bargaining. Terrible. Okay.